Welcome to Bacteriophiles Micro Edition. Get ready to hear a recent exciting story about microbes with your host, Jesse Noir. Some bacteria are loners, pretty much just swimming around on their own and gathering food and dividing in two sometimes. But most interact in communities in the wild, either by quorum sensing, that is, releasing chemical signals that can be sensed when there are enough of the same kind around, or existing in biofilms attached to a surface in a sticky sort of substrate that they produce. These biofilm communities can get pretty complex with different species doing different things, specialists. But mixobacteria, such as Myxococcus xanthus, are sort of in a special class of this kind of community life. These bacteria live in groups and swarm around in the environment, consuming other bacteria that they encounter, such as E. coli. And when food gets scarce, sort of like slime molds, they form into fruiting bodies, with some forming the stalk and the ones at the top differentiating into cells that go off and find some other food source somewhere else. And they're studied a lot as a good example of how bacteria can communicate between themselves, but so far people haven't been able to find any diffusing signals like are found in quorum sensing that they use to communicate with each other. One thing I learned at the general meeting of the American Society for Microbiology this past May is that Myxococcus can transfer some proteins in its outer membrane to other cells when it comes in contact with them. So this could be some kind of communication method that it uses. But requiring cell-to-cell contact can be pretty limiting, especially when you have a whole big group swarming together. Now, scientists publishing in Environmental Microbiology this past July have discovered that Myxococcus xanthus actually forms tube-like bridges between cells. The researchers used scanning electron microscopes to look at biofilm formation. These are microscopes that used a focused beam of electrons, instead of light, to scan across a surface and determine what the shape of the surface is like by how the electrons reflect off. This enables a much higher resolution of tinier things, because electrons can be more focused than visible light. So they saw cells, of course, but the cells were covered with tiny tubes that didn't look like anything else that bacteria use as structure, such as pili or secretion systems. And they looked at different life stages of the cells and saw that over time, the biofilm matures and the tubes coming out of the cells form bridges between cells. However, scanning electron microscopy is not always reliable to see connections between cells. Some people have tried using it for looking at nanowires that some bacteria use to conduct electricity between themselves, but they had trouble differentiating actual bacterial wires from artifacts caused by material drying on the slides. So this team, in order to prevent the drying artifacts, used a different technique that doesn't have as much resolution as scanning electron microscopy, but it's good enough. And they still saw the tubes. And some of them actually looked like chains of vesicles, which are kind of like balls of membrane. So lipids and other molecules forming the membranes that make up the tubes. And they purified some of the tubes, basically by breaking them off cells and then getting rid of the cells by spinning them down and filtering them out, so that all they had left was the tubes. And they analyzed the lipid and carbohydrate contents of the tubes. Strangely, they found that they had some kind of sugar associated mostly with eukaryotes, not much with bacteria, and another one that's often found in Myxococcus extracellular material, which is not too surprising. They saw that when cells were forming biofilms, the tubes were much more common than when the cells were just swimming. They also saw more chains of vesicles connecting the cells. So then they wanted to see what these tubes do. They tested about motility, because the cells could use them to swarm around together, but it didn't seem to be required for that, since the cells could coordinate their mobility without the tubes present. They tested the effects of just the tubes alone on some prey bacteria, E. coli in this case, and it did seem to kill them, but not as well as when the cells themselves were present to kill the bacteria directly. So it seems like there's some other function to these tubes that we haven't found yet. The paper kind of stops there, which I found surprising, but I guess we'll see what they find out in the future. So this is interesting because it's the first example we've found of lipid-based bridges between bacteria instead of proteins. We found a bunch of protein-based bridges, such as pili and nanowires, that bacteria form, but lipids is a new one. If this is a common strategy in pathogens, too, then it could be a target for treatment of infections. I think it's pretty neat because it's like the bacteria are using telephones instead of just shouting, broadcasting their signal all over the place. But instead, they are making specific connections to other bacteria that they know are friendly. I wonder if it could be said that this is some kind of early form of multicellularity. If they're all working together toward a common purpose, then that's kind of like multicellularity. Bacteria sure can be creative.
That's all for today's Bacteriophiles Micro Edition. Send comments or questions to bacteriophiles@gmail.com or comment at bacteriophiles.blogspot.com or at microbeworld.org/bacteriophiles. The music is from Mevio's PodSafe Music Alley at music.mevio.com. Thanks for listening.